I would like to welcome הרב הגאון, מזכה רבים גדול להגדיל תורה ולהאדירה, הרב יוסף מזרחי, ברוכים הבאים, יחד עם רבנים אחרים שבאו לכאן הערב להשתתף בערב החיזוק. The rabbi will give the speech, most probably Hebrew and English combined together. There is some request here. אקום בעד התר בו פרו שם יקונים בוחרים בה.
יש רוצים בעברית גם כן, זה לא, אנגלית לא נשמע להם
בעצם. אחרי זה אפשר לעשות אנגלית אחרי זה.
שבוע טוב, אבריוואן.
המסך של המצלמה הוא מסתובב, רק את המסך, אל תזיז את המצלמה. אליי. כן, ככה בדיוק. טוב, אוקיי.
שבוע טוב, אבריוואן. They told me the Bukharians don't like to come to שיעורי תורה in מוצאי שבת. But I guess it was a לשון הרע. No, it was מוצאי שם רע. מוצאי שם רע. ויד ברוך השם שבתון in Hollywood, in תורת משה. One of the better שבתון I had in 20 years I work. Full of בעלי תשובה, Israelis. Rabbi Maoz over there, a young ambition, rabbi with lots of ambition, taking the בחורים from the streets, making them בעלי תשובה, should see how they pray, how they come 6:15 to learn Torah in the land of Florida. Hard to believe, ברוך השם. When we ask ourselves a question, the Gemara say, במקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, אפילו צדיקים גמורים אינם עומדים. In a place where the בעלי תשובה, people who used to be not שומר מצוות, and now they became שומר מצוות, there's two different leagues. You cannot talk to them about this in the same league, in the same level. It's like two different worlds. You can't compare. If somebody asks you, who is the biggest Baal Tshuva in the history? The biggest Baal Tshuva in the history. What would be the answer?
Rabbi Akiva.
And who is the biggest Baal Tshuva of this generation? The biggest Baal Tshuva in this generation. I'm trying to hide that fact. I had the zchut to take the head of the Israeli mafia and made him a very big tzaddik. Was the head of the mafia. Every week in Israel. In Israel, it used to be a newspaper.
What is the telephone?
Have the telephone.
Keep it open. תשאיר את זה פתוח.
Every week, they used to have a newspaper in Israel. It's called Ha'olam Hazeh. About the crime world. One day I go to give a lecture in a place. We'll get to Rabbi Akiva in a minute, but I just want you to know where we're living today. I come to a place, I don't want to say his name because it's not what I'm about to tell you about his past. I cannot tell you about his past. One day I go to give a lecture. I used to give lecture in a place starting around 9 until the morning. With Israelis, you know, time is not an aspect. They come in, out, 1 o'clock, another group comes in. It's like a train station. Till the morning. Some people only wake up at 11 from the last night. So they come to the shiur. So I see a guy full of muscles like this. Mamash, like you can see, full of tattoos everywhere, full of scars. I'm thinking to myself, this guy, what this guy is doing in my shiur, b'chlad? See right away, this guy is, by the end of the lecture, comes to me, you know, like a person that debug God in his body. He held my hand like this. He said, I'm a lost case. I cannot do tshuva. I said to him, why are you saying this? So you know who I am? I said, no. You don't know me? Every week it was about me in a newspaper. So he said to me, you don't know me? I said, no. Every week they wrote about me in Olam Hazeh. I know it's a newspaper for the mafia. Only for the mafia. Crime, hard crime. I said, I don't know. You know, I'm here already many years. I don't know about these things. So he said to me, look at this guy. He showed me a blonde guy. He wants to put tzitzit. I'm warning you, don't give him tzitzit. So I say to him, why? Listen to this story. This is in the generation we live today. It's hard to believe. Behemet, hard to believe. I'm telling you the story word by word. He said to me, don't give him tzitzit. I say, why? What's the problem? He said, you know who this guy is? Well, let me tell you about me, he said. Start talking about himself. He say, any crime you can think of, we did. Kill people, we were hitmen, we controlled the drug industry, we robbed big boats in the middle of the ocean. The Interpol, with helicopters, with airplanes, are after us. I was in jail in Italy. They put me under the ground in Italy. Everyone bowed down to the statue of the Christians. I'm the only one who did not. They put me in Tzinok, in Lakin. For months, I didn't see light. He said, not only I was in charge of the drugs, I was also very deep into it. He shows me from the window a truck. I'm much like this, word by word. So you see the truck over there? Imagine me for weeks walking on four and smelling cocaine and heroin. Like this, for weeks. This was my life. So he said, if you give him tzitzit, it's all fake, don't give him tzitzit. I said, why? He said, let me tell you a story. One time we went, we got the name of a person. We go to the place, we put this thing on the head. We go out to the second floor in a big house. We look for the person to shoot him, to kill him. He say, 2 o'clock at night, we in the house. A little boy came out of the room, and the father came out of the room. I could not move my finger, he said. He doesn't have a God, this guy. In front of the boy, he shot, killed his father in front of him. You want to give him tzitzit? Like this, he's telling me, I got really like, now by now I'm not shocked, I begin to sweat now. Shemi Rachem sent me over here. This is it. We begin to talk. A month later, he come to my house in Monsi. He sit in a sukkah in Chol HaMoed. All the Hasidim ran away from town just from seeing him. To see him with all the tattoos, with the scars. He has a loud voice. Somebody like this not only became a Baal Tshuva. One day, he get a phone call from another head of the mafia in Israel. And they talk. And he said, tell your brother the 17, in front of me, tell your brother the $17,000 that you owe me on that robbery. Don't give it to me. I don't want it. So the other murderer, that his end was that they put a bomb in his car and explode him in the middle of Tel Aviv a year ago, started to cry on the phone. He was the biggest criminal in Israel. I hear him crying on the phone, please give us until 4 o'clock. The money will be by you. Until 4 o'clock. That's how dangerous this guy. Then after a year, he comes to the shul, 4 o'clock in the morning, mikveh. He gave up all the money of the crime and became the Baal Tshuva of the generation. Learning Torah all day, talit, tefillin. Hard to believe. This is today. Now let's talk about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, age 40, is cleaning horses. Cleaning horses. He doesn't know Aleph Bet. He works for the richest guy in the land. What happened? The daughter of Kalba Savua, she likes him. She sees he has good personality. Rachel. So. The Satan is in love with me. Everywhere I go, he follows me. He arranged. So, anyway. So Rabbi Akiva, she comes to him, she say, you know, I'm willing to marry you in one condition, that you go to yeshiva, which means I'm going to marry you, but I really don't want to be a wife and husband. Just I want you to go away. Just we get married, we'll be together 1 or 2 days, and you go to yeshiva. Now yeshiva, it's not like today. You get into your Lexus and you drive to the yeshiva and you come home. You go to yeshiva, you come in 6, 10, 12 years. That was what? Well, you go on a donkey or you go on a boat far away. You don't come every night. Same thing, kids. You had a little kid, he's 6 years old. מה, הוא לא יודע לנתק את הטלפון? מה קורה פה?
יצא, הוא אמר, מרים
בסוגר.
תק את הקאבל,
קליינטים מתנשבים, קליינטים. למה, תגיד אף
פעם בפנים. ברקט. זה בסדר. לא, זה המשך צצה קורה.
אה, it's bothering all the time, right?
No, no, not me. It bothers everyone. You see that everyone looks.
זה גרם את מי. כן, זה סמפה.
If you send a kid when he's 5 years old to yeshiva, next time you see him when he has a beard. It wasn't like today. Every day he comes home with a school bus. So what happened? She said to Rabbi Akiva, I want you to go to yeshiva and you learn, you be a Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Akiva says, okay. They got married. Her father banned her. She lost all her money, all her future, everything. And then after that story, something very interesting happened. She said to Rabbi Akiva, take a donkey with a plant and walk all day in the field, 1 week, in a market. Imagine now, you go to 47th Street, you see someone put yarmulke. But no Baal Tshuva, he walks with a donkey and a plant in 47th Street, and all the religious people look at him. You see yarmulke. So what are you doing? He walks back and forth. Fifth Avenue, Sixth Avenue. Fifth Avenue, Sixth Avenue. Like this. Everyone laugh. Then he comes home, he says, I had a horrible day. Next day, same story. She sends him again, all week. First day, 100% of the people laugh. Second day, 80%. Third day, 60, 40, 20. In the end, everyone became his friend. Come, we have a shpolo, join us. That's it. Everyone is happy now. She said, you see, the whole embarrassment wasn't even a week. You go to yeshiva. We know the story, but I'm getting to a point here. He went to yeshiva 12 years. He came back. After 12 years, he heard the neighbor making fun at the wife. Apparently wicked people, it's not only today. Even 2,000 years ago, there were wicked people. Why? There's a Jewish neighbor. She knows her husband went to yeshiva. Instead of cheering her up, what a tzaddeket you are, What a great woman. You sacrifice your life for your husband to learn Torah. What is she saying? Your husband left you. He forgot about you. Wicked people, you always had. And he listens to the conversation, and his wife says, if I had a way to tell him, there was no Facebook yet. If I had a way to tell him, I would send him a message to stay for 12 more years if he agreed to learn Torah. He heard that, he turned around and he left. And then after that, he came back when he was 64 years old with 24,000 Talmidim. Each one of them is bigger than all the rabbis in the world today combined. Each one of them. Just that you understand. Katan shebaem mechayem etim. If you take all the rabbis in the world combined, to revive one body from the grave, they can. The smallest Talmid, he brings the soul back into the body of the person and make him up. That's how much they knew the secret of the Torah. And he's the rabbi, and he was cleaning horses. The question is, 12 years you didn't see your wife. You know she gave up her life for you. Now you're standing right there, you see her from far, and you hear the neighbor is burning her heart. How can it be you're not going inside, give her a hug, something, let's spend a day or two, and then I go ahead for 12 years. What is this? You don't want to say hi to your wife after 12 years? In a ketubah, when a person gets married, many people don't pay attention. They're nervous. First, let me ask you a question. All the men that I see here, anyone knows what he signed on a ketubah? Nobody knows. Whatever the rabbi tells him, he believes. Same rabbi come the next day to collect donation. Who are you? Anyone know you? Show me references. But when he tell him, sign here, sign here, sign here, on his whole life, not one word. Sign right away. Let me tell you. One thing he signed, that his guy is giving his wife a place to sleep. She has a house, okay. Close to where, food to eat, and intimate relationship. It's a part of the marriage. If he's busy with his businesses, he cannot sign the ketubah. It's a lie. It's going against Hashem. Someone who does not keep what he promised in the ketubah, and that's an obligation from the Torah, it's the same thing like not putting tefillin. You tell him with his nice hat and beard, hey, today I don't put tefillin. Say, crazy? I give my life not to miss one day of tefillin. How much a person has to give not to miss mitzvah taseh from the Torah, do you know? Person has $100 million that it took him 50 years to make. 50 years from morning to night, killed himself, business meeting, flights, convention, shows, no day, no night, headache, court, lawsuits, competition, Lashon Hara, wow, so much. Gave up so much from his Torah, from his spirituality for this lousy money. In the end, he gets arrested. He drives without insurance. He didn't know. The police pull him over, sir, don't have insurance. Put handcuffs on him, they take him to jail. Now he's in a jail. And now he didn't have a chance to put tefillin today. It was early in the morning, he was on the way to shul. They pulled him over. His tefillin from the panic stayed in the car. And now he's in jail. And he sits there and there's one non-Jewish policeman standing over there. And he has $100 million cash in his bank account, this Jew. And he said to this policeman, do me a favor, can I get my tefillin from my car? So what are you talking about? What is this? So he's telling there's a bag. I'll show you where my car is. Please go get it for me. So this Richie, he gets Richie, he's telling him, are you crazy? Bring you your tefillin. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of you.
What?
I'll take care of you. You offering me a bribe? A lot of money. How much? I give you $10,000. So now this guy is clever. He said, if he offers me $10,000, I guess this is something very important. He said, not enough. Not enough. They begin to bargain. How much he has to give him not to miss the mitzvah tefillin? Up to 20% of his total net worth. Add a 3%. 20% of what he has. He has $100 million. He's obligated from the Torah not to miss mitzvah tefillin up to 20% from what he has. And if it's the other way around, if Richie wants to feed him pork, eat. He said, no, no. Eat, if not, I'll kill you. Eat. No, no, I'll pay you. Don't let me eat.
80%.
How much? Everything you have. You come out with nothing. Even you want, he wants your jacket, you give him the jacket. Everything, the watch. Not everything you have. This is halacha, that's not chumrah, this is not Kabbalah, no, nothing. חייב לתת לו 100% from המונו. Not to chas v'shalom do one sin from the Torah. איסור מהתורה. One sin. So, a person sign is obligated in a ketubah. And going back to our story, everybody asks, why Rabbi Akiva did not go inside? What's going on? The answer, 12 years of Torah plus 12 years of Torah is not equal to 24 years. Not the same. Half and half with a break, it's not the same. What is it like? You have water. You put it on a fire, it needs 10 minutes to boil. You put 5 minutes, you take it off for 2 minutes. And you put it back 5 more minutes, it's not the same. Not the same. The Torah, it's like a snowball. Snowball. What does it mean, snowball? If you learn 1 hour, you know one page of the book that you learn. You learn it good, 1 hour, one page. Now you learn another hour, you know 2 pages. You learn another hour, you know 3 pages. So you're thinking, the more hours I learn, I will know more Torah. If I'll double the amount of hours, I'll know double Torah. If I'll triple the amount, I'll know 3 times more. Wrong. Wrong. Every day you learn Torah, you grow bigger than yesterday. If you're serious. Why? Because this is the way it works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens you an opportunity in level 1. You bnu ba'al tshuva. First time you come, you open a book. First chance. Hashem helps you a lot. Big siyata dishmaya. It brings you to a level that you see the light. Wow. There's life. There's life. There's Hashem. There's Torah. I feel great. I see the light. Then comes the drop. All of a sudden, goes down. Why Hashem does it? It's called Orot. In the beginning, there's lots of light. Then it goes down. Why? Because Hashem wants to make you taste what's the first level that you can reach? What does it taste like? So he helps you in the beginning. He does everything for you. Messengers, people, inviting you for Shabbat, giving you everything, mamash, ready to go. Once you reach it, then the challenges begin. Why? Adam la'amal yulad. It's not a picnic. You have to earn it. First, I gave you a sample. You know, in a store, you come to a store, they have all kinds of pistachios. And the owner is the cheapest guy in the world. Even the cheapest guy in the world doesn't mind that people take from the baskets and eat. Why? It's good for business. He will taste how delicious the pistachios. He'll buy 5 pounds. So he doesn't mind give you 1 or 2. Same thing in the store. They all give samples. Why? It attracts the customers. Same thing over here. What does Hashem say? Taste. You taste, then you have to get it to yourself. You get there. Now another level. Until you get to a level that you ask yourself, how in 10 years I know so much? How did I get to such a level? How did I reach such a level? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you, but if you're not going to put all your efforts, amal, 100%, it's going to be very hard to reach anything. The Zohar brings a parable, a mashal. Mashal, what's the mashal? It says, what's this world is all about? What is this? It's called Mashal Bat HaMelech. Mashal Bat HaMelech. The daughter of the king. The king has a castle, and he put his daughter all the way on the top. And he said to all the guys in town, anyone who wants to marry my daughter have to make it to the top floor. The first one who makes it to the top gets the girl, the princess. Hundreds of guys are coming, everything is locked, the windows, They try heal, they try to break the wall, nothing. After a few hours, half of them gave up. Ah, the king is playing games. Again and again and again, one guy found a way. Here, up, all of them go, and now in the first floor. But half of them already left. Now another few more hours, another half left. They try. In the end, one guy made it to the third floor. And that's it. He can't make it all the way to the top. He got stuck. There's no way here. From here, there's no way. What? It's all walls. No doors, no window. He tried, maybe there's a hidden entrance, nothing. Then come the king and say, Mazal Tov, you're going to be my son-in-law. So why? But I did not make it. I didn't make it. So the king said, do you really think I thought you can make it? No one can make it. It's not about being successful in my life. In my world, you don't have to be successful. All you have to do is to show me that you're willing to do your maximum for the truth. And you proved yourself, Mazal Tov. You're going to be my son-in-law. You're willing to fight. I'll give you an example. A person has a car. The car broke down. He takes it to the mechanic. 1 week, the mechanic works on the car. 1 week. He said to him, come in 3 hours. Called him after 3 hours, the car is ready. No, call in 2 more hours. No. 20 times he called. Again. What's going on? We have some complications here. Tomorrow it will be ready. The next day, the same story. Like this for a week. The customer goes crazy. Cannot work, cannot function. He has to stay home because he hasn't any money. He has to go get the car. After 1 week, the mechanic calls him and says, I'm very sorry, Moshe. I just couldn't fix your car. Believe me, I put every day 10 hours of work on the car, on this lousy car. 60 hours I worked, and I just could not fix it. Whatever we try, it's just not working. It's like a curse. Now the customer is fuming. He comes to the garage. He's thinking, he's already calling the lawyer. What can we sue? He gets to the garage. The mechanic said to him, it's $60 an hour. 60 hours a week, you have to pay us $3,600 for the job.
Not fixing the job.
Now what happened to this guy?
Shocking.
It's about not to choke him, to chop his head off for the chutzpah. I said to him, I didn't hear you good. Is this a joke? You have time for jokes now? He said, no, here's the bill. We have your credit card on file. You wanted to charge a credit card or you want to give us cash? To pay you for what? So he looks at him and says, I killed myself on your car. What do you mean for what? So he said, but you did not fix the problem. So what? But I put my life in it. Is that my fault that this car cannot be fixed? Who's going to win in court? Not only doesn't have to pay him, if you dare to take him to court, the mechanic, most likely the judge would make him pay him for the time he lost. Right? Imagine that Hashem would be the same. God forbid. You try, you give your life and you fail in the end. And he said, sorry, you didn't get the job done. Nothing, no reward, no sachar. Baruch Hashem, Hashem is not like this. Lefum tzahara agra. The main reward is on the efforts, not on success. Efforts, more than the success. Two bachurim yoshvim and learn gemara. One after 1 year finish the whole Masechet very well, one finish, one page. Everyone say, she gets a much bigger schar. He knows 80 pages, he knows only one. Nah, my friend, no, not at all. For the efforts, the same schar. He learned and he learned. Lo alecha melacha ligmor. You don't have to be successful. You have to fulfill your full potential and full effort. The Gemara says, sometimes in the Torah he says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe and Aaron. Sometimes he says, Vayomer Hashem el Aaron and Moshe. So the Chachamim ask, why sometimes first Moshe, sometimes first Aaron? The answer, the Gemara say, Lelamdecha sheshneem shkulim. They both equal. Comes the Chachamim and ask, what equal? Moshe is higher than Aaron. Torah says clearly, Lo kam navi ke Moshe. והאיש משה ענב מאוד, עבדי משה, זכרו תורת משה. משה is the highest. until Rabbi Akiva came. We'll get to Rabbi Akiva soon. So he said, Zichru Torat Moshe, Moshe is the highest. All of a sudden, the Gemara said the equal. Looks like a contradiction. The answer is, now we're going to understand the secret of life. If we see now two Jews, one jeans, t-shirt, little yarmulke, he's keeping Shabbat, he's keeping mitzvot maybe even 10 years, he looks half secular. Then one beard, tzitzit outside, big yerei shamayim, everything looks mamash like a real Rebbe. Automatically, from every 1,000 Jews that have to evaluate them, you make a survey. 999. You ask them, who's the bigger tzaddik? 999 would say the one with the beard and the hat. Maybe one that was a little bit drunk. He said, the one with the jeans. Right or wrong? Now I want to ask a question. Is it possible that in the eyes of Hashem, the one with the jeans is more tzaddik than the one that looks like a big rebbe? Is it possible?
Yes.
I know you're going to say yes. But now I want you to tell me why yes. Who can tell me why yes?
Because he born in this situation to be Jewish, to like religious,
you're very close to the answer. No. So let me clarify myself. They both born in a religious family. They both born to a father who was a Shomer Shabbos. Is it possible the one with the jeans is bigger tzaddik?
Yes.
Now why? Now he was born in a religious family. Why now? Tell me why yes.
He studied in one place again and again and he knew it very well. And therefore his heart is what he was doing. Not a regular hand. If Sharil was a regular Torah.
Everything you say is true, but I'm not so sure you're answering the question. I'm asking, give me a reason how we can say that the one with the jeans is bigger tzaddik than the one that has the entire form alphabet. She say, don't look at the look. She say, the actions. So now I have news for you. We follow the chassid for 1 week, and we follow the one with the jeans for 1 week, and the chassid does a lot more mitzvot than the one with the jeans. And I'm still asking now, is it possible the one with the jeans is a bigger tzaddik than him or no?
Yes.
Now you tell me what.
Still what?
It's getting harder. No? What? Answer, they both do it with the same love. The one with the jeans go like this. Same thing the chassid goes like this.
Same thing.
Answer. Now comes the answer. The answer is, listen, the answer is, when a person die one day, every person has a rate. From 0 to 100, right? 5% tzaddik, 10% tzaddik, 20%, 80%, 90%. Hashem knows how to rate people based on what they did their entire life. From 0 to 100%, not two people are the same. Now, you cannot find two people that are exactly the same. 94.31257, 89, exact same rate? No, so it has to be a little bit different. One action more than the other one, you're already a little bit higher. So the question is, when a person passes away, if he has to come back to the world, that means he did not fix everything yet. Still have open cases to close. So Hashem say, instead of me cleaning you in a very painful way, I'd rather send you back in another body, what we call Gilgul, reincarnation, for you to fix. Now, how will I decide to what parents to send you? To what family, to what atmosphere, to what school, to what community, to what place in the world? So many options. I have to find you the right atmosphere that suit the tikkun you have to do, the correction that you need to achieve. So, for instance, if you already were Shomer Shabbos, you passed that test, there's no point of testing you again on Shabbos. You proved yourself. So I send you to a Frum family that are Shomer Shabbos. Next, if you are a liar in your business, I have to send you to a place that your parents will be liars, to teach you to be liars, that you're going to still have this test. I won't send you to a place that they raise you in a way that you don't even know what a lie is. I have to test you again from the same problem. If you're stingy, you don't give for tzedakah. You kept all the mitzvot, you're modest, you eat kosher, you keep Shabbat, but you don't give tzedakah. Give a little bit. I have to send you back to the world with the same desire to be stingy. Why? Because you did not fix it yet. So I have to make you. That's, by the way, I always give this example. You take three little children, 2 years old, 2 years old, 2 years old. You give each one of them a bag of pretzel. You come to the first one, give me one. He gives you one with a face. Give me another one, he begins to cry. You come to the second one, give me one, even one he doesn't want to give. No, I gave you the whole bag, give me one. No, you take one, he begin to scream 8 hours until he choke. Like this, what happened? What's gonna be? You took one pretzel from me, I gave him a whole bag. How does he know? Maybe I have 500 bags for him. One he doesn't want to give. Then you come to the third one, he gives you one. You give him, give me another one, another one, give me another one, take the whole bag. He take two, three, he gives you the whole bag. The question is, who taught these little children about calculating, to be stingy, to be generous, to save? They don't know about life. They don't know how difficult it is to make money. They do not know how much I can give them. Maybe I have unlimited, take as much as you want. How this kid know not to give even one, and he begins to cry and he gives his life for it? That's how he died. You come, you beg him, there are people who are dying, give a check, give something. No. Let them go to work, it's not my problem. They're dying, the children are starving. No. Shomer Shabbat. There are people like this. Doesn't want to give. He dies, he cannot go to heaven. Nose ba'olim chavero. People around him are dying. He's cruel, he's stingy, he doesn't care. Hashem says, okay, I have to give you another chance. But since you Shomer Shabbat, you won't have desire to be mechalel Shabbat. You pass that. Since you are modest, you don't have this desire also. Since you learn a lot of Torah, also I'm going to put you in a place with Torah. You pass those tests. I want to check your generosity. This is how it works. So now this is how it goes. The person with the genes, he died in a level 20. The one that we see now that he keeps a lot more, he dies in a level 60. 20 and 60. When they born again to the world, the one with the 20 made the progress all the way to 70. It's not 100. This Chassid, since he died in 60, he went up now to 85. He looks a lot better. And he's 70 and 85, it's much better. But who achieved a bigger achievement in life? He made a much bigger progress. That's the secret of this Chazal about Moshe and Aaron. Sometimes Moshe first, sometimes Aaron first. Everyone knows Moshe bigger tzaddik than Aaron. Everyone knows it, Hashem said. But Chazal, they know all the secrets. They say, no, the equal. Why? Aaron, according to his maximum potential, he did 99%. Nobody's perfect, 99%. Moshe, according to his potential, also 99%. The 99% of Moshe, the 99% of Aaron are not the same. Moshe is higher. Doesn't matter. This is the secret of life. I hope you got what I said here. I just gave you an idea about what life is all about. It's not how much you more than your friend. It's how much you achieve. That's why I say don't ever judge a person until you stand in his place. Why? Sometimes you look at a person, say, how can it be that this guy cannot do mayim achronim? What's going on with this guy? Cannot get up 2 seconds to the sink to do mayim achronim? I can't believe it. For you, it's not a question. You come, you do it, no problem. You say, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be? You don't have the same test like him. He has this desire not to do, because in his previous life he also didn't do. You always did. It's not a challenge for you. What your challenges are and what's his... I had a guy that when he was 31 years old, he bought a big liquor. It's called Blue Liquor from France to New York. And in 1 year, he made $60 million. Became a wealthy young guy, 31, 32 years old. Became very rich. Accidentally arrived to one of my lectures. He had a very good neshama. He came again. Third time, he's already making tshuva. So I talked to him about Shabbat. Now he has a big house in Old Westbury. The whole house is protected with lasers. On Shabbat, it's a whole very complicated system there. The whole Shabbat, he's locked in a house because he cannot go. He keeps turning on. It's a very complicated system over there. He cannot come out, in and out, to the pool, nothing. He has to stay in one area in the house the whole Shabbat in order for him not to be mechalel Shabbat in the house. I told him, shut the whole system. He said, no, it's going to call the police. It's all kinds of headache. Bottom line, he agreed to keep Shabbat right away. Now, what's easier, to be a Shomer Shabbos for someone who is not, or to put tefillin 2 minutes a day? Tefillin. What's easier? Tefillin is much easier, no? Tefillin he cannot put. I call him every day. No, you put tefillin today? 5 o'clock. Oh, not yet, not yet. In 5 minutes. I call again, 5:30. No, you put? No, not yet. 6? No? You have 10 minutes left. Okay, now. Every day, same story. Shabbat, 1, 2, 3. Why? How can it be, man? Compare the difficulty of Shabbat for someone who was mechalel Shabbat to put 2 minutes tefillin and say Shema? This is it. We find sometimes a secular person that behaves better than a Haredi in certain things. Better. You see, you say, how can it be? I knew a guy, used to be my roommate. He was a kibbutznik from Israel. 20-something years ago, he lived with me for a period of a few months. Complete anti-religious. Anti-religion. Him and religion has no connection even by a drop. Nothing. The guy is so straight that if the Haredim in this world would get to his level, Mashiach would come right away. He doesn't lie, he doesn't steal, a word is a word, a check is always on time. Amazing. A lot of the people come to me and say, help me, you know people in the real estate. Which office I should go? Baruch Hashem, Hashem helped me in Queens. Almost all the owners of all the real estate offices, I used to go to the places, and they all Shomer Shabbat, almost all of them. This guy is the only one. It's not Shomer Shabbat, not in kosher, nothing. They ask me, who should I work for? I say, for him. So why? He's Shomer, he's your student. Why are you sending me to this? Looks like a goy. I say, he's more honest than all of them combined. And then one guy told me, like 2-3 weeks ago, he said, remember you sent me to him? He started to tell me how honest he is. I told him, you tell me how honest he is? CDs came to the house 20 years ago by mistake, a bunch of CDs. For all day was looking where to return it. Why? He didn't feel comfortable that the CDs arrived to us by mistake. It's like this. All the time, pay on time, nope. So now you say, how can it be? This guy learned Gemara, Musar. In the end, he's on the news. Fraud. Credit card fraud. How can it be? This guy in a kibbutz, eating shrimps, eating chazir, eating dogs, whatever he eats. And it's like this. So what's going on? Ma, without Torah, he reached a higher level? No, my friend. No. He died honest. He doesn't have desire for it. He can't. Some people, if they steal, forget about Hashem. They don't know Hashem bichlal. They don't believe. But if he will steal, all week he suffer. Because it's against his nature. He can't do it. Do you understand? And the one with the yarmulke is on fire to steal. 80% of the time he's not stealing. 20% he fell. So it looks he's much worse than the kibbutznik. No. He's 80% succeed. He doesn't have a test bichlal. It's not a test for him. For him, it's a big test. He's suffering every day. For him, it's not a test. That's why he cannot judge people by their performance. It's a very common mistake. Very common mistake. But you don't judge people by their performance, by their efforts, by the nisyonot. This is it. That's why I always say, it's enough that a person lives in Miami, automatically Hashem should double his reward right away. Right away. Why? To be here Haredi, to be here 100%, it's much harder. Much harder than some areas in the world. You go in Yerushalayim, you feel the Kedusha everywhere, everyone. It's not so much of a test. You walk over here in the summer, what's happening around you, it's affecting the person. There's nothing you can do about it. The air, in Hebrew, how do you say atmosphere in Hebrew? Avira. The Gemara says Avira. Avira, it's also air. Air and atmosphere, same word. In Lashon HaKodesh. Avira de Eretz Yisrael machkima. The air of Eretz Yisrael make the person wiser. Chacham Ben Zion Abba Shaul, that did not waste a minute in his life, always was busy with Torah and Mitzvot. One time he told my cousin, let's go to the beach. So my cousin said to him, what beach exactly will go? There was no separate beach in those days. Today there's a beach for religious people. He said, I want to smell the air by the beach. See, that's an answer. He went with him to the beach. The car is on the street. You see, it's about 20, 30 minutes. He breathes like this. I said, okay, let's go back to Yerushalayim. I said, Rabbi, what was this about? He's saying this mercury in the air by the beach. Mercury. And it's very good for the brain. It's good. It's like medicine for the brain. I don't know where he got it from. Don't ask me. But we see that the air affecting the... By the way, you should know the air affecting the genes. In Africa, everyone black. Scandinavia, everyone blonde. China, everyone yellow. Jews look like all nations. They have one Jew from Ethiopia, one Jew from Germany, one Jew from Syria, one Jew from Russia. You look at four of them and go and swear now they're all brothers. They came from the same father, no? How can it be? So the answer is intermarriage. Wrong. Wrong. Not everyone mixed. So how can it be? The answer is the Zohar. The Zohar says the people are changing their images according to the air they breathe in every different continent. Which, by the way, you should know one very interesting thing. The Zohar knew that the seven continents, before Columbus found America, Columbus was 500 years ago. The Zohar is almost 2,000 years ago. So the Zohar said, speaking about seven different lands. But I want to ask you a question. When Hashem created the world, how many continents the world had? Only one. And then after the flood, it broke, and the pieces started to shift in the ocean, and they parked. That's what the Zohar says. Spring, boiling water came, and the rain, 40 days, made such pressure, and it broke. There used to be a scientist named Wagner, who lived 1870 to 1920. 50 years only. His discovery is one of the most important discoveries in the last 100 years in the whole world. It's considered among one of the biggest discoveries. He discovered what the Zohar said clearly. He got all the credit. Why they don't send the award to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to Meron? What did he say? The world used to be one continent and broke into seven. And he shows you which piece of each continent broke from what area? Green and green, brown and brown. And it shows you how it was. He made the whole puzzle. And the Zohar already saw it and said it. Did you know David HaMelech used to make surgeries to his soldiers and used to take their splint out? Splint in Hebrew means tchol. There's not one doctor in the world that knows how to do it today. And David HaMelech was 3,000 years ago. He removed the splint from his soldiers. Why? Because when they take off the splint, you can run non-stop. You don't get tired. You run and run. You don't need horses. You run, you never get tired. What's the connection between tchol, splint, to breathing and running. David HaMelech used to take the feet of his soldiers and make special cuts there and eliminate the nerve system. Eliminate the nerve system, and the soldiers can run on fire, on thorns, on glasses, and they bleed. They don't feel pain. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had a son. His son, Rabbi Elazar, was very, very heavy. Everybody knows to be extra weight, it's not healthy. The Gemara says, the rabbis decided to operate on him. Which surgery they did to him? Liposuction. 2,000 years ago. The Gemara say they took him to a sterilized room and they made him lay on marble. Every scientist would tell you marble is the easiest thing to sterilize. Clean it, beautiful. Then he say, the Gemara say they took two buckets of fat from his body. Two buckets of fat, full. Back, you know. And he was in the month of Tammuz, July, August, and he was such a holy person that even the fat that came out of his body did not smell. And he said, even the fat of my body is not smell. Why? Because he used to turn the thief people to the goyim. Used to be thief. They come to Jewish homes and steal things. So he used to tell the police, here, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Levy, Mr. this, Mr. that. The police used to go and catch them. So other people got very angry at him. What are you, Moser? You're turning Jews into the goyim? So one time a person came to him and said to him, Chometz ben Yain, vinegar, son of wine. Your father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was a good wine. You already wine that became vinegar. And then he turned him into the goyim also. He says, Azpanim, this chatzuf, this person is arrogant. Then he regretted. So, wow, he wasn't a thief. All the other ones, the police should put them away. Why? Because they're hurting Jews. But this one, he only insulted me. He's Azpanim, he's arrogant. But why did I turn him to the police? The Romans came and took him away and they put him in jail. So then the people told him, don't worry, you did the right thing. What did they do? He went with a married woman and made a scene with her in Yom HaKippurim. So Rabbi Elazar say, even when supposedly I made a mistake, Sisu Kiliotai, my kidneys, my stomach should make a party. Should make a party. Why? Even when supposedly I was about to make a mistake, it turned out it's not a mistake. We're going back to Rabbi Akiva. I know you forgot about him already. The question now we have to ask. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu. He took him, he put him on a mountain, and he shows him now what's going to be in Eretz Israel until Mashiach would come. All the generation. He saw Dizengoff, he saw Harnoff, he saw the settlers, he saw the wars, he saw the government that we have today. Everything Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Everything, all the generations. After 1,300 years that Hashem showed him the video, he saw Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva in Yeshiva is teaching Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't understand almost anything Rabbi Akiva said. By the time Rabbi Akiva finished the shiur, he said, everything I told you came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe relaxed a little bit. So, Baruch Hashem, after all. So he said to Hashem, I don't understand. You have such a Jew in the world and you gave the Torah by me? You should have given the Torah by him. It's not justice to give it by me. He deserved more than me. So Hashem, showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe asked Hashem, show me his sachar, show me his reward. So Hashem show him how Rabbi Akiva is an old man, 120 years old, old man, and the wicked Romans have knives, brushes of metal, and they brush his skin like this and make lines of blood in his body. And everyone, all the religious Jews, the students are all standing around and crying, and they torturing a rabbi 120 years old. And this is what Moshe saw. Moshe said to Hashem, Zo Torah vezo schara? Where is your justice? This is the ultimate learner of Torah, and this is the end that he had? So Hashem said to Moshe, Shtok, don't make a beep. Kach ala b'machshava. You don't understand, it's too deep for you. Lo machshavotai machshavotechem. My ways and your ways are not the same. You cannot think in the same channel like me. Now the Gemara say that he had a student, and his student, together with Eliyahu Navi, they recovered the body of Rabbi Akiva and they brought it to be buried in Eretz Israel. And the other place it says that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu that they sell the meat of the body of Rabbi Akiva by the butcher shop by the Romans on a basket. So a Roman comes to the store and he sees a basket, pieces of meat. What's this? Shaklu et besaro. So which one of the two is real? Which one of the two is real? Did they cut his body to pieces and put it by the butcher? They said, $9.99. £1 of the meat of the biggest rabbi in the world. Or that they really, Eliyahu HaNavi, helped to save his body and bring him to Israel. If story number one is real, what are we doing when they go, Kever Rabbi Akiva, what is this? It's not it's a piece of wood, stone, ma. And if the second story is real, why the Gemara has to say that Chas v'Shalom such a story? The answer is, we can relax, Baruch Hashem. They brought his body to Eretz Israel. They recovered his body. But the Romans, after they lost his body, they stole the body from them, because they had the body after they killed him. Rabbi Akiva said to his student, all my life I'm waiting that I have an opportunity. I always say, ואהבת את השם אלוקיך בכל לבבך, בכל נפשך, בכל מאודיך. Should love you, Hashem, with all your heart and all your soul and all your efforts and your money. So now I have an opportunity, because the student told him, you can say the Shema Meforash, you can say the name of Hashem, and all these Romans will drop dead. So what are you waiting for? Akiva, Ad Kan, they say. And he could really... He could have done it, but he wanted to die like this. Why? He wanted to show that first time in his life he had an opportunity that after declaring it for 80 years, since he was 40 until now, now when he has an opportunity, he wants to prove that it's real. The Gemara says, before they did it to him, they put him in jail. He was in jail, and he has his student. He used to bring him a bucket of water every day. Half of it he used to drink, and half of that he used to make netilat yadayim. One time, the soldier told him, why are you bringing the rabbi so much water? Why are you bringing him so much water? So they say, too much, he kicked it. Half of that got spilled. So he picked it up, and he came to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said to him, don't you know I'm an old man, I need this water? So he told him, the Roman didn't let me. Look, he spilled half of the water. So Rabbi Akiva took the water and made Netilat Yadayim. Netilat Yadayim is mitzvah from the Torah or the Rabbanan? Rabbanan. Why we have to do Netilat Yadayim? Why do Rabbanan care that we eat bread and we have to wash our hands before? What do they care? They want to eat the bread with dirty hands. You need it with dirty hands. What does it have to do with mitzvah, with Torah? Why? Takana. They say Bet HaMikdash destroyed. The Kohanim has to eat, they have to wash their hands before. One day, who knows when Bet HaMikdash will be built. By then, everyone will forget about Netilat Yadayim. Now we decide everyone does Netilat Yadayim, that when Mashiach comes and we build Bet HaMikdash, no one will forget, because it will be already a way of life. You eat bread, you do Netilat Yadayim. So now Rabbi Akiva, he's the biggest Chacham. The rabbis who made that decree are not in his level. They're lower. So now, what would you do if you him? You're 120 years old, you did not drink all day. You didn't drink. Half of the water went to the garbage, you have enough to drink. He washed his hand and he did not drink. So he told him, what can I say? My friends made a decree. I cannot go against them. And he was the biggest and the oldest. They were much younger than him and much lower than him. But he said, the Chachamim made a decree. Torah, it's not a joke. It's not about who is bigger. There is an halakha called Zaken Mamre. You know that? You heard that before? Zaken Mamre. Someone used to be in a Sanhedrin, retired. Very big Chacham, 100 years old. One day, the Chachamim sat and they made an halakha, and he disagreed. He has proofs that they're wrong. He's right. And they say, this is what everyone has to do. And he say, okay, I don't care. I'm bigger than them. I know that it has to be this way. What is it? It's called Zaken Mamre. It's going against the Beit Din. Not allowed. It's bigger than the Torah. Doesn't matter. Hashem made rules. The Gemara said there used to be a rabbi. His name Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa. One day he said to his wife, I want to be like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva went and he came back. I also want to go learn Torah. His wife said, go ahead. How many years? He said, 6 years. So he went away for 6 years. After 6 years he came back and he saw that the entire town changed. Everything is changed. All the roads, everything. He doesn't know. So he said, let me ask people, where is the shul? They say, right here, the shul. So he went to the shul, he saw a boy, little boy, learning Gemara like a machine gun. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. He knows everything. The Gemara says, Chalsha da'ato. He became weak. Sad. He said, I left a pregnant woman and I went to yeshiva. Who knows what kind of boy I'm going to find now? Probably doesn't know aleph bet. If I would stay in town, I would teach my son Torah, I would have a son like this. Maybe I made a mistake that I went away to yeshiva. By the end of the story, he asked, do you know where this family lives? They told him, yeah, come, I'll show you the way. Somebody showed him the way. He comes home, he sees his wife, Baruch Hashem. He did not go for another 6 years. He came in. And they sit, she makes him tea. They sit, all of a sudden, he see the boy that he saw in yeshiva bringing water. People used to sell water. They come to the lake, they bring water, he paid him some money. There was no faucet. So as soon as the boy walked in, he got up. The big rabbi, he rise. So his wife said, why are you standing? He said, Talmid Chacham came. He was maybe in his 50s. And the boy was 6 years old. And he knew he's a Talmid Chacham, this little boy. I'm 56, I'm going to rise for him? No questions. Right away he got up. She said, why are you standing? He said, I saw a Talmid Chacham. So the wife told him, I never saw a father standing for his son. Hashem did the job. He went to learn Torah. That's what the Gemara always say. Melechet tzadikim na'aset. Now I'm going to tell you a story that will shock you completely. I hope you'll be able to finish the food after. But it's a very good story to learn in life. The Gemara says, Rav Kahana had a son, his name is Salik. Salik is 5 years old. His father, Rav Kahana, wants to send him to yeshiva. There's not good yeshivot in the area. He wants to send him far away. The wife knows, you send my son to yeshiva, next time I see him, it's in his wedding. I don't want. So she argued with her husband. arguing. What happened in the end? They want to get divorced. They come to the Beit Din. Rabbi, we cannot reach an understanding here. So the rabbi say, okay, wait. How about you hire a tutor, a big rav, to teach your son in the house, and she's going to serve them. She wants the boy to stay home. You're willing to cook for them. You're willing to do the laundry for them. You're willing to take care of all their needs. She said, of course, as long as my son stay home. So the rabbi said to Rav Kahana, no, what do you care? You have a melamed with your son. So he agreed. So he brought him a melamed. How many years they learn? 25 years. Now he's 30. Salik is 30 years old. One day, the melamed come to the father and say, listen, it's not fair. I'm charging you money. Everything I know, he knows. I cannot teach him anything. Chevruta I can get for free. He doesn't need to pay me. So he said to him, okay, thank you very much. Here's your money. Goodbye. Salik is going now for the first time in 25 years to check the market where they live. He walks in the street and he sees all the people selling their merchandise, and he sees one Jew, he's selling lemonades. Lemonades, squeeze lemon and sell lemonades. So Salik comes to him and says, excuse me, can you give me a glass of lemonade for free? So the guy said to him, why should I give it to you for free? It's my business here. He said, I tell you, I just learned Torah for so many years. I don't really have money. I need talmid yeshiva. I'm a yeshiva bachur. So the lemonade guy said to him, good for you. What do you want from me? So he said to him, you don't want to give me a glass of lemonade for free, even though I learned Torah now 25 years in a row? So he looks at him, the lemonade owner, he says, no, I'm sorry, goodbye. He came home, got so angry, he took his clothes off, he threw it on a rug, on the couch, and he went to his room and he started to scream, what did the Torah I learned gave me in life? Even a glass of lemonade I couldn't get for 25 years of Torah. His father and mother saw that he's very upset. They waited for him to relax. And after that, they came to him, and his father said to him, look at this diamond. I want you to go tomorrow to 47th Street. Not to 47. I want you to go tomorrow to the Chinatown. You know, you have all the boots over there. They sell fish. They sell leather, rug. Show all the Chinese people over there the diamond and see how much they're offering you for that. And make a list. So he comes to the first boot. Mr. Lee, how much? He said, I'll give you $200 for it. So you're right. He comes to the next booth, also Mr. Lee. Over there, it's all Lee. Over there, Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee number two. How much? 350. Like this, all day he goes in Chinatown. All day he goes to Chinatown. By the end of the day, finally, he got to four digits, $1,000 for the diamond. He comes to his father, I started with 200, I found 1,000, very good deal. The father told him, tomorrow, one more day, I want you to go to 47th Street. And write how much they're offering you over there for the diamond. Okay, he comes to 47th Street, first boot, Mr. Gavrielov. How much? 180,000 I'll give you. The kid, it's not a kid, he's 30 years old. Maybe he didn't hear good. How much? Okay, 200. But that's it, 200,000. Again, how much? He said to him, okay, listen, 250,000, but that's it. So he wrote it down. Okay, he went to the next one, Mr. Borokhov. He looks inside. What's going on here? How much he gave you? 300,000. Here, my check never returned. Check, ask about me here. He wrote 300,000. Come, this, that. Persians, the Bukharian, the Ashkenazi joined the party. Everyone, oh, 17 million. Started with Mr. Gavrielov, 200. He got to 17 million. He comes to his father. He says, I don't understand what's going on. The Chinese offered me 100, 180. And now somebody offering me 17 million for the stone. So his father told him, now you're going to understand what happened to you with the lemonade. When you went to the market of the fools, that they have no idea what Torah is. All they know is just to sell and make the money of today that they can eat and drink and sleep. What do they know what Torah is? Instead of the guy grabbing your hand and start kissing your feet, not only I give you lemonade, I'll give you my life. Just touch me. I remember one time I went to see Chacham Ovadia Yosef in Purim, in Bet Knesset Chaim Sha'alov Rav Siman Tov Alav HaShalom in Brooklyn. Used to be alive, Rav Siman Tov. Rav Ovadia came. It's not a big shul. Size of the shul right here. Not a big shul. Someone told me, you want to film Rav Ovadia from close? Make sure you're there 2 hours before the time. So I say 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I was with my video camera, first row. There's a table like this. Like this, I said. And I put the camera in his face. But when he walked in, they brought him from a side entrance. I never saw in my life such a thing. This was maybe 6, 17, 18 years ago. The amount of, first of all, there were maybe 3,000 people. The whole area was blocked. The whole street was packed with people. And when they brought him in, I saw all the people are pushing, giving their life to touch his hand. Just to touch the hand. You cannot reach him because there's a table here and there's people. Just to touch his hand. I was a young man by then. I said, what's going on here? Just to touch the hand. He comes after 25 years. He doesn't want to give him lemonade. He wants 5 shekel, $2 for the lemonade. Instead of saying, oh, you chacham? Chacham, tfadal. Hey, everyone outside. No, but when you went, the people checked the diamond, the color diamond. They offer you 17 million because they can get 30 tomorrow. What do you think? They understand to evaluate diamonds. If you go to another place when people know Torah in Olam Haba, they will evaluate Torah. Believe me, you don't have to worry. And that's the secret. The question is why the Romans, they put a basket in a market. This is the meat of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the Romans say, no one is allowed to teach Torah in public. That's why we have Haftarah in Shabbat. Why we read Haftarah? Today we read in Haftarah the song of Dvorah. Dvorah! The song, the Haftarah speaks about Dvorah singing a song. There was a woman named Yael. She killed Sisra Arasha, right? And the mother of Sisra was crying. And because the mother of the Goy, the Hitler of that day, was crying that her son got killed, we blow shofar 100 times. Look how one thing leads to another. And this Yael, who she was? She wasn't a Jew. Keni. There was a nation, Sisra, and the Keni were the best friends. So how she killed him? They had an agreement. The answer is, before I give time for questions, another minute, prepare your questions. The answer is, he raped her 7 times. That's why she killed him. Hashem made it that he could not hold himself. And what he did, and once she made him drink thick milk, she killed him, and that's how the Jews got saved. That was the beginning. Why we read today Dvorah? Because we have Az Yashir Moshe. Moshe made a party for the men, and his sister Miriam made a party for the woman. According to the Quran, Miriam that made a party for the woman, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, she is, who is she? Do you know who she is? The mother of JC. Very good. The mother of JC is the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. So according to the Muslim, Moshe Rabbeinu is the uncle of JC. Even though they lived 1,300 years ago. And 1.5 billion people followed this nonsense. Do you understand? Why we read Haftarah, the same subject like the Torah? Because they did not let learn Torah. They did not let to take the Torah out. So the Romans say, you're not allowed to teach Torah. Someone who will get caught teaching Torah, we will torture him in the middle of town. That no rabbi will allow to teach Torah. Similar to today. There's no decree to kill the rabbis who teach Torah yet. But we're already making a progress to these days that you're not going to be able to give Shiurei Torah in Israel. They go crazy. Too much Torah, not for us. Cut the budget. Close the yeshivot. Today, the Rasha Imach Shimo, to yesterday, he announced, I'm going to fire the Bot Shif rabbis of Israel. Yes. They never heard such a thing. That a person that just got elected 2 months ago to the Knesset announced yesterday, the Rasha, he announced, Rasha ben Rasha, the Gemara say, Rasha ben Tzadik, Rasha ben Rasha, Tzadik ben Rasha, Tzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on here? Wicked people celebrate, and the Tzadikim sometimes suffer. Tzadik v'ra lo, Rasha v'tov lo. One time I gave a lecture in Fairlawn, New Jersey, in a place that they're sitting Shiva. 150 Israeli guys and girls went to comfort a family that lost somebody, the father of the girl, of the woman. They tell me, can you come? I say, yes, 150 chilonim, I'm on my way. I get there, I start to speak. By the end of that lecture, first I started to speak, there was an Israeli guy with a ponytail sitting mamash next to me. He goes like this. Change the subject. I was talking about the difference between the Jews to all the other fake religions. So he said to me, change the subject. Change the subject. Every minute, change the subject. I say, I'm going to teach you what does it mean, change the subject. I go even more. I don't know he's going to tell me what to say. But I'm not getting the point. After about 20 minutes, half an hour that I talk, what happened? The one that sits next to him got up. Got nervous. He got up, took the yarmulke off. He puts the yarmulke on the table. I have to go. If I stay here 10 more minutes, I will have to convert. And he, it's tarech litgayer. I have to run away. So what's the problem? You convert. He said, if I convert, they'll kill me in the kfar, in a village in Israel. It's Druzi, Arab Druze. They'll kill me, my father, my family. So I have to run away. Then he turned around to all of them, and he said, you have such a religion, and you don't listen to it? Shame on you! Then he looks at the guy with the ponytail that was trying to protect him the whole night, changed the subject because of him. You! Tell the rabbi where you're going after this lecture. Tell him! He turned around and he left. By the end of this lecture, I see an Ashkenazi man, about 50 years old, Ashkenazi woman, about 47 years old, very educated, academic people. They come to me, hello, nice to meet you. This is the first time we ever heard Shiur Torah in our life. Very nice. We came, this is our friends, we came to say, you know, Shiva. We never knew that it's so interesting. We are the ones who opened Shinui in the Israeli government. We started the labor, the party that called Shinui. And when we saw we cannot get elected to the Knesset, we brought Tommy Lapid, the number one Jew hater in Israel history, that hates Torah. We brought him in, and he took over the party, and he won 15 mandates. 600,000 people vote for him to destroy the Torah in Israel. If we knew that the Torah is like this, we would never do it. After speaking to them, I say, make me a lecture in your home. Invite all your friends. They made me a lecture in their home. 3 times they came to my lecture, they became Haredim. חרדים. One day the woman, she says to me, I hear that Kaddish, it's important for the people who died. I never said Shiva on my father. Not me, not my sister. We don't have brothers. We never said Shiva. What should I do? I say to her, you can give money to Bachur Yeshiva. We'll say Kaddish on him. Why you didn't see Shiva? Even the Chilonim see Shiva. She said, no, one day my father said that he's going to Romania and he never came back. And we thought he cheated on my mother and ran away with his Romanian Goya girlfriend. So we hated him. But then 7 years after he died, we only found out that he's been dead already 7 years and Ceausescu killed him. He was an Israeli spy working for the Mossad. We didn't know. My father was a Mossad agent. They caught him, the communists, they put him in jail, they tortured him, and he died. And we didn't know. Now I feel bad, she said. What should I do? I say, send a little money, whatever you can afford. I have a guy in Yeshiva, I will start saying Kaddish for him. He was dead 17 years. 17 years. Even though the first year the Kaddish helps the most, but it cannot make any damage if you say later. It's praising Hashem for the memory of this person. After 3 months that she sends every month money for the Kaddish, one day, Sunday, Friday, 11 o'clock in the morning, she calls me up, shaking. You're not gonna believe what happened. My father came to me in a dream, to me and to my sister tonight. Not only to her, to both of them. Aggie, you're saving me. You're saving me. You don't know how much you're saving me. 17 years he suffered. After 17 years, the Kaddish started to save him. How a person lives in a darkness, doesn't know anything from their life. Now, Tommy Lapid, Hashem sent him, Zchuto Yagen Alav, he's not here. And now his son became much worse, because he's much more clever than him. He used to bark a lot, and makes a lot of noise, his father. This one is destroying the Torah now. I have no idea what he does. They're closing budgets. Now he wants to do, nobody can make a beep. The religious people handcuffs, they're not in the government. The same thing happened in the time of Rabbi Akiva, but worse. They say, you're not allowed to teach Torah. One person came to him, I think his name was Papus. He said to him, why are you teaching Torah in public? You don't know that the Romans are in charge here and they say you're not allowed to teach Torah? So Rabbi Akiva told him, what are you? The fish swimming in the ocean, the fox coming to the fish, he see that the fisherman is trying to catch the fish. So the fox say to him, come to us, I'll help you to run away. So they tell him, you're crazy. We are in the water, that's when we swim the best, we worry. You want us to come to your mouth and the land? Same thing over here. The Roman wanted to destroy the Torah because they knew this is the strength of the Jewish people. So they say no one is allowed to teach Torah. When they killed Rabbi Akiva, they wanted to destroy the Torah mentally. So they made a rumor. After Eliyahu Navi helped his Talmid to steal the body and take it to a place and bury it, they made a declaration. They took a meat of a different body, of one of their dead people, and they say, after we butchered Rabbi Akiva, everyone should come and see what's the end of the biggest rabbi in the world is. Where is their God? Where is their God? And a lot of Jews went down in the spirit. The chief rabbi butcher in a basket, but it wasn't the truth. He got saved, he's buried in Eretz Israel. Every generation, bechol dor vador omdim alenu lechalotenu. The Romans, the Greeks, the Babylonians, the Philistines, the Egyptians, they're all gone. And the little tiny nation, the Jewish nation, is rising forever and ever. That is not, it's not about going to war or not going to war. It's a fight against destroying the Torah. Not about work, doesn't work, nothing. Just to destroy. The two rabbis, they say something according to the halakha. The Sfaradi, the Ashkenazi, he doesn't know any halakha, he says I'm firing them. Yes. Next question. Please. Everything good. Everything good. No? Any more questions? Yes, please. The question was if the husband is keeping Shabbat, but the wife is walking with pants, she's not dressing modest. So the question is, what's going to be in a case like this?
Yeah.
I tell you what it is. There are two people who wants to decide to open a business together. One is very righteous, honest, and beautiful, and the other one is a thief, and they made a partnership. The one that is honest and is a good worker, he brings blessing to the business. The one that cheat and steal bring problems to the business. So it's a contradiction. One brings blessing, one brings problems. Same thing in marriage. Marriage is also a partnership. When a husband and wife join and the soul became one, one brings good, the next day the one brings bad, sometimes it's the other way around. He brings some good and bad, and she brings some good and bad. And in the end, they get judged as one unit. But in the end, every person pay mainly for what he does. Ish bechet'o yumat. A person is responsible to his actions, which means if he say to his wife, I'm asking you to dress modest, we became Shomer Shabbat, please stop dressing like the way you dress, and again, and again, and again, and it doesn't help, he has to go to the rabbi to get an advice what to do. Most rabbis will never tell a man to divorce his wife unless one thing only. If she doesn't want to keep Shabbat, they tell him stay married. If she doesn't get the modest and the beggar and she doesn't want, they also let him stay married. She doesn't want to cook kosher food, they tell them go make yourself sandwich with the bread, with the cheese. Don't break the family. Unless if she refuses to go to the mikveh, then he can never touch her. After her nida, she has to go to the mikveh. If she doesn't go to the mikveh, she refuses to go to the mikveh, up to 2 years, all the big rabbis that I'm in touch with over the years, up to 2 years, they ask the men to wait. More than that, it's a torture. So they tell her, listen, there's no more relationship. You live with a man, it's two roommates, what's the point? Do you want to sacrifice for your marriage and go to the mikveh? Yes or no? She say no, they force them to divorce and